regular.
The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Listeners will know that we love talking all things food on this show. And in Ireland, we're absolutely spoiled with amazing food producers. So this summer, we're going to be meeting some of Ireland's most celebrated food producers, from fish smokers to cheesemakers and chocolatiers. They'll all be joining us here to tell us about making delicious Irish food. And to kick us off, I'm joined now by Blaenehaeren producers champion Graham Herterich and cookbook author and food and wine writer Aoife Carrigy. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Thank you. So we're going to be talking all things food on the programme. Graham, are we in a good place when it comes to food production in Ireland?
I think we are. We have some amazing food producers in Ireland at the moment, like large and small, like especially the small guys. There's so many just amazing producers out there doing amazing work and like just using the land and using nature to its best and showing it off.
And are they being treated well, Aoife, by consumers firstly? Do we appreciate them?
I think there's a growing appreciation, and there has been over the last kind of 20, 30 years. And that's part of what makes our food scene so exciting, is that we've as Irish people, we've kind of fallen in love with food. We've you know, become gastronomes. And so, yeah, I think that there is a really strong connection. I think that there can be more awareness of like just how hard these guys work and just how important it is to kind of to support them, because they only exist with our support. You mm-hmm. know,
it's like we've got two food economies, though, mm-hmm. because we want some things for very, very cheap, mm-hmm. and the producers are really struggling in that regard. And yeah. then people will pay a premium for certain things.
Mm-hmm. Where, in fact, even just the, you know, the basics, the good quality basics, cost more and more money. So, but you know, you get the benefit when you eat really good food. You get the benefit of paying that good money for that good food.
Mm. We talk, don't we, Graham, about other countries and what they produce. You know, whether it's Parmesan or champagne and all of these lovely things. But actually, in Ireland, we have a great climate and environment for really good food.
Yeah, and we also have our POCs. Is that what it is?
PDOs.
PDOs, which is like the Parmesan and the champagne. We have ours as well. We have the Blas in Waterford, and is there any others?
Mm. Yeah, there's lamb. There's Connemara Hill lamb, for example. We don't actually have as much, because our food tends not to have been so regional because of our food history, and our producers tend to be more, it's more about individual producers who drive something. But yeah, we do have a number of them.
But we do have amazing land. Like we had a wet couple of weeks there, but like everything is so green and lush at the moment, which in turn is going to make beautiful cheese, beautiful beef, beautiful lamb. We have a perfect environment for it. Yeah.
What did you bring with you there now, Aoife? I see two lovely things in front of you.
I brought a couple of examples of just things that just for me, I always have in my kitchen and bring a little magic when I want it. So for example, this first thing, I'm going to give it to you to smell, Claire. It's Ballyhora Mountain Mushrooms from down in Cork, and they are foragers of wild mushrooms and then producers of mushrooms as well. And this, I think, is
umami powder.
Yeah, so it's dried mushrooms, porcini mushrooms. It's some dried seaweed in there and some sea salt. And I just put that on my scrambled eggs, and I feel like I'm out for brunch, you know?
Does that smell mushroomy? I don't think it smells mushroomy. I get the umami.
It's very umami. But I think
it's the umami, yeah. It is just so beautiful.
If you hadn't told me about the mushrooms, I probably wouldn't have picked it out there.
But they're an example of a producer who just have, like, they have beautiful, we were just discussing, they have beautiful sep mushroom vinegars, they have mushroom tea, they have dried mushrooms and so on, and they can just bring a little elevation, I suppose, to your food at home.
That's one of the products that I stock in the shop in Rialto, and it's funny, like, we stock a huge range of Ballyhora products, and they all sell. Like, it's amazing. Like, we only stock Irish produce in the shop and from Irish producers. And it's amazing. People want to come in and find that little bit. Yes, it's a little bit expensive, but they know it's a good quality product, and a little's going to go a long way.
But I've had that for ages as well. Like, you really don't need a lot of that. I'm going to give you now Wildwood Vinegar. This is one of my favourite producers. He's an incredible guy up in Westport. He's based, and he was a gallery owner and an artist. And then at one stage, he decided to branch into vinegar production. So he forages for a lot of the produce. And that one is hibiscus and elderflower, I believe.
That's exactly it, yeah.
I have another one at home that's like wild water mint and lemon. And they're just like, they make dressings unbelievable. But you could also like finish them like a little bit into a dish to finish. Again, they're quite expensive products. Like that's maybe a tenner for that, like, relatively small bottle, but I will...
The bottle itself is like a piece of art.
Isn't it so beautiful? Gorgeous. And I will go and stock up a Bloom, actually. I usually buy one or two, and they might last me the year.
He does a star anise balsamic, which is just divine on vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's absolutely
beautiful.
Or like
frackenberries, balsamic. And so again, just like really beautiful. And I suppose one of the things I love about Irish food producers and interviewing them as a journalist, they all have really interesting backstories. Because either that they've been in agriculture and they've been trying to do it the conventional way, and then they've decided something in them said, no, I want to branch out and I want to actually deal directly with consumers. You know, Salt Rock Dairy, for example, who said, no, I've got really good quality milk. I'm going to actually set up a milk vending machine. You know, I'm going to bring just some imagination to how I'm going to, you know, bring this forward. Or people like Fionton, who was an artist and then decided to branch into this. They're just very interesting people who aren't afraid to kind of to go outside of the mainstream.
Yeah, there's always a story there.
There's always a story.
And there's always a battle and a struggle, isn't there, Graham, to get to the point where you have it on the shelves. But there are supports out there for people, aren't there?
There is. Like you do have, like there's things like Borbia and like even programs like Origin Green are supports to people to be more noticed. Like my thing is, like I'm here as kind of the Blasnaharan food producer's champion, and like even a Blasnaharan is a great support, because you will get, like, you enter your product into a competition, you get honest feedback, because I'm a producer as well as a realtor and a baker, and you get your honest feedback, but it gives you something to shout about, and Blasnaharan will shout about you as well, and that's great. And there's like there's more and more small independent retailers that are coming along looking for Irish products, and then again going to something like Blasnaharan, you will have all the buyers from all the big supermarkets will be there. So something like that is
a great opportunity.
It's brilliant opportunities.
You have to learn how to shout about yourself as well, and that mightn't come naturally to some people.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges of that I see in food producers, is that they maybe start with a love of like making jam or whatever it is they're doing, but then they realise, oh, I have to also promote myself, I have to look at distribution, I have to manage the business. Like there's so many elements, and they're often doing it all at once, and that can be a real challenge for people when they're like, but I just love to bake, or I just love to, you know, I love the food element of it. But it's a, you know, a micro business with many different aspects to
it.
And
then does the real success come for our food producers when they're selling successfully overseas?
If that's what they're aiming to do, like if they want to grow that big, but then it becomes a different thing. Then you're managing a beast as opposed to, you know, doing what you want to do, which is like make food and sell it directly to your local community, for example. So I think success looks differently to different people.
Yeah, like it is very different. Like say for me, I closed my wholesale business 2 years ago because I was going to have to compromise what I was doing because the prices of chocolate and butter were gone too high. So I would have had to compromise to make it competitive. So I decided to close my wholesale business. Now, I hate the term lifestyle. No, it's not lifestyle, household business or something like that, which is just basically keeping a roof over your head. I hate that term, but it's what we do. We have a small little business. We keep it nice and compact. I love producing good quality food.
And you weren't prepared to compromise on that.
I wasn't prepared to compromise on that. And there is producers out there who have reduced the size of their business because they're not willing to compromise and to scale up. And a lot of the smaller food producers don't, some of them don't want to scale up to that big, huge international, because that's it. They've stopped producing. Like I'm still a baker at the end of the day and I love my job, where I don't want to have to manage a team of 200 people in a factory. That's really not what I want to do.
And make those really tough decisions on not on having a product that you're not 100% happy.
But saying that, there is amazing supports there for those that do want to do that with...
Yes. No, and I get that. Sort of stuff. Like people who are producing things like beef and cheese and so on. I mean, they are the things that we export really well, and they grow
and always have done. You know, we've such a long history of exporting that.
So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be meeting lots of people who are doing this successfully, and we're going to shout about them, which I'm really excited about. People making things like the vinegar and the umami powder, really special stuff that we're going to be learning about on the programme. And I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it, because you always discover things that you didn't know about, you know, little gems.
There's so much
hiding
gorgeous
on the
stuff
shelves
out there.
Aoife and Graham, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll have more on our summer food series as we go through the next couple of weeks. And
the Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance,
weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.